Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 20. The last Perek spoke about the time where Mitzrayim is punished by attacks on the Nile, its advisors, and government. It ended with Mitzrayim, Ashur, and Yisrael joining together to serve Hashem. This Perek is also about Mitzrayim, but this Perek has a clear time frame. It occurs during the time of Chizkiyahu. It is a short perek of only 6 psukim, but it has many lessons within it. The background for this perek has been discussed before and can be found in Melachim 2, Prakim 18 and 19. There are many prakim in Yeshayahu devoted to the defeat of Sancheriv, but they are not included in chronological order. As we learn these prakim, we will piece together the spiritual message that Yeshayahu is trying to impart during this time about all the events of the time. Sancheriv took over Ashur and went around the region, conquering all the surrounding kingdoms. He was ruthless and exiled all the nations to different locales so that they would not have the home advantage and would be less likely to rebel. He conquered and exiled the 10 tribes and also conquered most of the territory of Yehuda. In the 14th year of Chizkiyahu, Sancheriv was ready to conquer Yerushalayim, completing his domination of the land. Yehuda was frightened and planned to make alliances with other nations, such as Egypt, against Sancheriv in the hope of saving themselves. Later in the Sefer, Yeshayahu will dissuade Chizkiyahu from making alliances with Egypt, as the nation needed to learn the lesson that their only salvation is from Hashem. In the time of Chizkiyahu, Yehuda wanted to rely on standard warfare, that as the Jewish people, sovereignty and safety are never achieved by normal or natural means. Before Sancheriv could wage an attack on Yerushalayim, he heard about a rebellion brewing in Ethiopia, in Cush. Sancheriv went to Cush to suppress the rebellion. In the meantime, he sent his general, Tartan, to Ashdod, which according to Ibn Ezra was an independent Plishti city so that Ashur could capture it. One can imagine the anxiety of neighboring Yehuda, who had already seen their major cities defeated, who were now witness to the defeat of yet another neighbor. Sancheriv defeated Cush and came back to Yerushalayim to defeat it. This parak deals with the defeat of Egypt and how Yehuda should react to the downfall of a nation they had hoped to rely on. Pasuk 1. Bishnas bo Sartan Ashdoda. In the year that Sartan came to battle in Ashdod, Bishloach oso Sargon Melech Ashur, when Sargon, which is another name for Sancheriv, sent him to fight there. Vayilachem ba'ashtod vayilkada. And Sartan fought in Ashdod and he captured it. Rashi and the Malbim explain that this parak happened 3 years before the death of Sancheriv's army outside of Yerushalayim. As we have said, the tension in Yehuda was intense, as Yehuda knew they were next. Pasuk 2 be'esahi, at that time, Hashem speaks to Yeshayahu and gives him a command. Lech upitachta hasak me'al masnecha. Go and loosen the sackcloth from off your loins. V'nalchot sachalot me'al raglecha. And take your shoe off your foot. Vayas came, and he did so. Haloch arom v'yachef. Walking around naked and barefoot. Hashem told Yeshayahu to open his sackcloth over parts of the body that it would always be covered. In the next pasuk, it tells us that Hashem says, just as Yeshayahu, who is called Avdi, my servant, walked around naked, so shalosh shanim os umofes. In 3 years, there would be a sign and a wonder, al Mitzrayim val Kush, on Mitzrayim and Kush. These psukim require explanation. The Ramban says in Parshas Lech Lecha that when a Navi is told to do an action, it concretizes and reinforces the nevuah in a way that makes it unmovable. It seems that Hashem is asking Yeshayahu to walk around in a degrading fashion for a prophecy regarding another nation. How could Hashem ask Yeshayahu to do something degrading, especially if it seems like the attack would be in 3 years? Did Yeshayahu really walk around without clothes for 3 years? There are other instances where Hashem tells the Navi to do things which seem strange, such as when Yechezkel is told to lie on his side for months, or Hosea is told to marry a prostitute. The Mefarshim must deal with this question for other Nevi'im as well. There are a number of classic approaches to this topic. One approach is that what Hashem seemed to be asking was not actually what Hashem was asking. By reinterpreting the translation of the word slightly, the issue is resolved. In our perek, this is the approach of Rashi and the Gemara in Shabbos 1:14. Rashi interprets the pasuk to mean that Yeshayahu is being commanded to put on sackcloth, not take off sackcloth, a garment made of rough wool as a sign of mourning. Rashi infers this from the fact that Yeshayahu was never told to put on the clothing in the first place, that he would now be able to remove it. Rather, the clothing he is being asked to wear here is torn and worn out. So when he, a nobleman, walked around in these clothes, people would colloquially say that he was not dressed. Another approach is that of the Rambam, and an our parak of the Radak and Ibn Ezra. The Rambam's approach to nevuos such as these is that they are all part of a dream. The Navi is not actually doing the behavior. He just sees himself doing these behaviors in a dream. The Rambam famously uses this approach to explain the Bris Ben HaPesarim, the initial covenant that Avraham made with Hashem, where a fire passed between halves of animals. The Rambam says that it happened in a dream, while other commentators say it happened in reality. In our perek, according to this approach, Yeshayahu sees himself taking off his clothes and shoes in a dream, and then shares the nevuah with its visual elements with the people for maximum impact. The final approach is that what was described happened. The words mean what they say, and it wasn't a dream. The Me'am Loes explains that Nevi'im would often wear sackcloth when tragedies occurred to the Jewish people. In this case, Yeshayahu had been wearing sackcloth since the exile of the 10 tribes and the destruction of much of Yehuda. The Me'am Loes offers a few opinions as to how the psukim could be taken literally and not violate proper conduct. He suggests that Yeshayahu could have taken off his outer clothes so that he would only be in his underwear, or he tore his garments until masnav, his loins, which remained covered. The Malbim says that Yeshayahu undressed in the privacy of his home. He then informed people of what he had done. Back to our nevuah. From the time that Yeshayahu received these instructions, it would be 3 years, and then Sancheriv would conquer Egypt and Ethiopia. Their exile would be cruel and degrading. Just as Yeshayahu was told to undress, Pasuk 4, Kein yinhag melech Ashur es shvi Mitzrayim vez galus Kush. So the king of Assyria will lead away the captives of Egypt and the exiles of Ethiopia, Na'arim uzkenim, young and old, naked and barefoot. Sancheriv made it a point to be cruel and degrading when he was conquering these nations. When he marched Cush and Mitzrayim into exile, he stripped them so their backsides could be seen. Rashi explains that this degrading manner of exile was a punishment for the behavior of their great-great-great-grandparents, Canaan and Ham, who revealed their father Noah's nakedness after the flood. In Yechezkel, it mentions after the war of Gog Umagog that the Jewish people would bury the dead. This was a reward for the fact that Yefes, the ancestor of Gog, helped shame cover his father's nakedness. The histories of nations have deep significance beyond the current generation and reflect the arc of reward and punishment for all time. The exile of Cush and Egypt will impact Yehuda greatly. Yehuda was hoping they could ally themselves with the Mitzrayim, which will be an important theme in later Prakim, to protect against the incoming army. Yeshayahu warned Chizkiyahu not to rely on Egypt, but to only rely on Hashem. When Mitzrayim is captured, Pasuk 5, V'chatu vavoshu mikush mavatam umin Mitzrayim tefartam. They will be dismayed and ashamed because of Ethiopia, their expectation, and because of Egypt, their glory. They had expected to rely on Cush and to be connected with a glorious Egypt, as Yehuda wanted to win this war naturally, rather than by relying on Hashem. They must now face the reality that their attempts at solving the issues themselves was pointless. They wanted to feel independent and strong rather than to rely on Hashem. When Mitzrayim and Cush were defeated, their pride that came from their self-sufficiency was destroyed. Yehuda, who had wanted to rely on Egypt, was alone. Yehuda could be compared to Yoshev Ha'i Hazeh, inhabitants of an island surrounded by water. They are a nation surrounded by neighbors ever ready to attack, with no one to support them in their isolation, who are only saved by Hashem. They will learn this lesson and realize that they are not really self-sufficient. They will say, Vayomahu, on that day, Hine cho mavatenu asher nasnu sham le'ezra, if this could happen to those we look to whom we fled for help, lihinatzel mipnei melech Ashur, to be rescued from before the king of Ashur, ve'ech nimaleit anachnu, how can we ourselves escape? They realize that other people can never be the source of their security. Yeshayahu is trying to teach them through sharp symbolism that they are exposed unless they rely solely on Hashem. In this parak, Sancheriv plans to attack Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim wants to ally themselves with Mitzrayim against Ashur, but this plan evaporates when Sancheriv conquers Mitzrayim and Cush first. Yeshayahu has a nevuah where he is less dressed or poorly dressed, either in rags in a dream or for a short time, indicating that in 3 years, Mitzrayim would be exiled with disgrace and naked from the waist down. This parak has a lesson which we have seen a few times already. The plans of man are not what is important. Yehuda wanted to form an alliance with Mitzrayim, but the plans of man are not what create victory. Only the plans of Hashem matter. Man cannot escape that which Hashem has planned. When Yehuda listens to Hashem, it is to their benefit. Otherwise, they face degradation and shame. In our times, we are faced with similar challenges as we look to others to figure out on whom can we rely. We face disappointment as we see that those we want to rely on are themselves weak. This must not demoralize us, as we must realize that Ein Od Milvado, there is no one else but Him. Whatever plans people have for us, we must know that Hashem's plans are in control. We can learn an additional lesson from this parak. The Mefarshim explain different approaches as to how Yeshayahu could have walked around naked and barefoot for 3 years. There are many different approaches that range from it never happened to it happened in a limited fashion. The Me'am Loes quoting the Abarbanel brings an important insight into this discussion. The issue that everyone has is how could the honor of a Navi of Hashem be allowed to be degraded? The Navi represents Hashem, and so he could not act in a way that demeans his mission. However, lost in this understanding is that the priority for every Navi was that the honor of Hashem should be increased. Had the Jews allied themselves with Egypt, this would have lessened their sense of reliance on Hashem. It would be worthwhile for the Navi to have walked around undressed for 3 years if it meant that the people would recognize Ein Od Milvado, that there is none they can rely on except Hashem. This is the principle of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is not doing that which will gain approval from the general public. It is doing that which Hashem wants. Listening to Hashem is the only true Kiddush Hashem. The ambiguity in the meaning of the Psukim lets us grapple with the extent of Mitziras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, that Hashem would ask from Navi. That is from Hashem's perspective. From the Navi's perspective, he would do anything that Hashem asks of him as his servant. As Hashem says in Pasuk 3, he knows that what he asks will be done by Avdi Yeshayahu, my servant Yeshayahu. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.